Are you experiencing that each day that you serve Him? The sweeter He grows. That's His goal in our life. The more dear to us and sweeter us than we could ever imagine. We don't deserve any of it. But He's there to give it to us. And I'm so thankful for that. You pray for me this morning. I hadn't preached in a while. I got to thinking about it. I've had COVID, pneumonia, and different things going on. It's been a while, but God made a way that I could be here this morning. You pray that God will help me this morning. Take your Bibles this morning. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 18, 1 through 15 to start with. And I got a lot of scriptures I usually do, but that's what preaching's all about, expounding on the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus went in the temple and He took the Word of God and He read it. Then He sat down and He expounded to them. And what did they want to do? They wanted to take Him out and throw Him off the brow of the hill. We've been studying our Wednesday night classes. They wanted to kill Him for it, just because He was telling them who He was and what He was there for. I tell you who He is today. He's the Savior of the world. He ought to be the love of your life. He ought to be the one that's on the throne of your heart and in control of your life. And I prayed if He's not that, today before you leave, you will put Him there and let Him be in control, that He will be on the throne of your heart and in control of your life. Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 15. Now this is kind of a weird title. You have a appointed appointment. And I'll explain that as I go into the message. You have an appointed appointment. Begin reading in Genesis with me. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts after that you shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. I'm glad they got some Arkansas talk in there. Fetched a calf. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it to a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind them. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. You have an appointed appointment. Pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for the service, Lord, and allowing us to gather here today, Father. And I pray that, Father, you will take and anoint and use me, Father, here in this time this morning to share what you have laid upon my heart, Father. Help us, Father, to hear from you. Help us to listen and to see what you would have to say to us today, Father. That, Lord, that we could be the people that you would have us to be. I pray that if it be someone that's lost here today, Father, that they would realize that they have an appointed appointment here today. That they will just come as your Holy Spirit works upon them, moves in their heart, that they will come and turn everything over to you. Father, thank you that we have the Word of God. Thank you that you preserved it for us, that we could have it to read from, Father. And you just show us and tell us how much that you love us. Through your Word, Father, you reveal to us on every page of what, Father, you're doing for us, Lord. And I thank you for that. Help us, Father. Lord, here today to be strengthened and encouraged. Help us to realize what you're wanting to do in our lives, Father. The people that you're wanting to make us into. And I just pray that you will direct and lead us. And you will strengthen us, Father. And you will draw us close unto you. Thank you again for all your blessings. Thank you for your love. And we praise you and give you glory for everything. And everyone said, amen. 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 Thank the Lord for his word. Thank it for the precious word that we have and can read it. I read to you here from the Genesis chapter 18, the account of where Abraham and Sarah were there in the plains of Mamre, as the first verse said, how they were there. They were set up their camp there. You know, they were traveling around at that time. And then it says, the Lord appeared unto him there in the plains of Mamre. He come to them and he came and he reminded of a promise that he had made to Abraham. He promised him that he would have a son, and at this time he did not have. And here he was talking to them and going over things with them. And here they are, just living life out there in the plains of Mamre. So many times we get to doing that. You know, we get serious with God at times, and God does things in our life, and we see him working and doing things, and then it seems like we go through some dry times, and we get a little cold sometimes in our walk and relationship with God. But you know, God is still there, and he's going to carry out the promises that he's made for us. Those times that we may not feel that God is right there with us, he's right there carrying you, friend. He's right there carrying you through those times. And he wants you to draw close. You know, the quiet times are the best times to draw close to God. He's probably drawn a line there, and he's seeing where you will come to if you will take that extra step and make that move to get a little closer to him. God wants us drawing close to him. And I tell you what, if you look outside these windows and these doors, there's nothing out there in that world that should appeal to us that would draw us away from him. We should be dead set on following the Lord and having him in control of everything. Amen? Amen. We should let him be in control of everything. Well, here Abraham and Sarah were just living their life just like everybody else. God had spoke to them and told them they'd have a son. And here they've grown old. It happens to everybody. Amen. I'll be 58 years old in June. Where did that go? What happened? What happened? I live life. I'm so glad that God saw fit to save me when I was 28 years old. Because I've had so much of a better life with Christ in my heart and in control of my life. Well, Brother Joy, is everything all peachy and rosy? No, it's not. I'm not going to tell you that it is. But I have an advocate with the Father. I have somebody that pleads my case, that takes care of me and helps me throughout each day. And as we grow older in life, we need to realize that he's not separating from us. He's working harder and harder to draw us closer unto him. And you know, we get saved younger in life. And like I said, I was 28 when I got saved. I was lost for those 28 years, didn't know who Christ was. And some of the things that I did, I'm ashamed of. All the things that I did without Christ, I'm ashamed of. But I'm so thankful that he forgave me that Sunday morning. I'm so thankful that he was there to provide forgiveness. And you know, he did some things in my life. He made some promises to me. You can read them in his word. He promised to always be with us. Promised to always provide for us, Brother Charles Scott. He said that he will take care of us. He will be with us through everything. You know what? He's never failed me. Now, I've had times that, like I said, I've gotten my eyes off of him. And I've went through some troubled times. But you know what happened? When I realized where I was at and I made my way back to the altar where it all began at, Brother James Edwards, and I got down and I asked God to help me, he was always there to help me. He continued on with those promises. He continued on with them. And here Abraham and Sarah are out there in the plain of memory, and the Lord comes to them again, and they've grown old. And in our minds, just as Sarah thought, she'd reached the age where women were not able to bear again. But God is so much bigger than that. He's so much above our thoughts and what we think we can do. Hey, don't limit God and what he can do in your life. Don't put constraints on him, because he's not able to be constrained. He's not able to be contained. He's the God of all, the God of everything. And this whole thing belongs to him. And he can give you victory and he can help you. And here they are. They're there. And I like this scripture. Verse 14. Let's read it again. It says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And I thought about this, and I thought about the things in my life, and as I told you, I testified Wednesday night how good God had been to help me and people praying for me and everything. And man, I got there to work, and old Satan met me right at the door. But is anything too hard for the Lord? Now I got frustrated and a little bit angry, but God just kept working on me throughout that day. There was nothing too hard for Him. He was able to help me through that day. He brought peace back into my soul, and He's still on the throne. He's still in control. It doesn't matter what all these people around me do, but my relationship with Him, and that's times that we need to realize that how easy it is to get our eyes off of Him and let those things control us. Be focused upon Him. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there any battle too hard for the Lord to get you through? I don't know what you may be facing, the struggles that you may have. I know what I go through, me and Tammy go through, and our families. But, you know, there's some things that people don't share with others. We all have our battles and struggles. And I want to tell you this morning, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. I'm telling you today that He can take care of it. He can meet those needs. He can bring you through whatever it is if you'll just cast your eyes upon Him, set your heart upon Him, and let Him be Lord in your life. Let's let Him be Lord. There's nothing too hard for Him. The Scripture bears that out. That's a promise from God that He can take care of it. He can take care of it. Well, Brother Joy, when are you going to get to the appointed appointment? Right now. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Scripture says that she laughed in the tent. She didn't think anybody heard her, but the Lord knew. You know, you can't hide anything from God. He knows everything going on in your life. You know, I was talking to a man the other day about this, and I used to have these problems in my life and things that I didn't want you people of the church knowing. You all know about it because I brought it and laid it on an altar one youth night, and God delivered me from it. I'd come out of Walmart, out of stores and everything. It was tobacco, I just tell you. Let's just get it out there plain and simple. I'd come out and, man, I'd look all around that parking lot walking out to the car, see if any of the good church folk was there, Brother Arliss. Didn't want to see me doing that. What I'd do, I'd look around, and I'd get that nasty stuff out and shove it in my mouth. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me. Thank you, Lord. All the while I was looking around, there was a God on the throne looking down from above, seeing everything that I was doing. Don't matter where you at or what's going on, God sees you and God knows what's going on. We all have an appointed appointment with the Lord. You're not going to escape those appointments. He is going to be there. He's going to watch and He's going to see what's going on in your life. And here he was telling Sarah, I know that you've reached the age where you think that it's not possible for you. But doesn't it say that my ways are above your ways? My thoughts are above your thoughts? God's all powerful. God's almighty. God can do whatever He wants. Amen? We got to learn to submit unto Him and let Him take care of everything. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. He will come at the time appointed and He will meet with us. Well, I want to look at this word appointed there in the Scriptures, there in verse 14, at the time appointed. I did a little looking up on this word. It's a Hebrew word for, if I say it correctly, moedah. Is the Hebrew word for it. And guess what the meaning is of it? It means appointment or a fixed time or season or a set time. You have an appointed appointment. And I'm here today preaching the Word of God, sharing with you what God laid on my heart about this. We everyone have an appointment at some time in our life with the Lord Jesus Christ. What happens at that appointment will determine how the rest of your life on this earth will go. It will determine how that you spend eternity. Because there's a God in heaven that is in control of everything. And He offers salvation to whosoever will. But there's another thing that goes with this for eternity. He offers salvation in an eternal home in heaven, that place with Him. That place of happiness as we sang about. That place where we all desire to go and to be with the one that died for us. But the Scriptures bear out and teach us that there's another place for eternity called hell. And I'm here today and I'm going to beg for the Lord that you don't miss that appointment that He has set for you. That at the appointed appointment, you will make sure that you get things right with God. And I want to share with you today on through the Scriptures of the appointments that God has made for people. Now, as I said, appointed means appointment, a fixed time or season, or a set time. Anybody here have any appointments going on this week? Doctor's appointments? I don't have one this week, but I got one coming up before long probably. Get everything checked. How about in the morning? Anybody got an appointment to be at work? After spring break, going back? Yeah. Amen, you got an appointment. How about anybody else? Am I going to work in the morning? Hey, we got appointments. Hey, Friday night, we got an appointment to be here. You're invited. Going to have a movie night, fellowship together. We've got all kinds of appointments in our life. Wednesday night, we're going to have church here. Make an appointment to be here. Be here and come and see what God will do. See what He'll do in your life. Keep those appointments that God has set before you. You know, those things in the world is not as important, but putting God first and having the appointments with God. Yeah, it's important for you to be at church here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It's important for you to come and to fellowship and to worship God together. That's appointments that we have. God's appointed those appointments that we could come together to worship Him. He created us to worship Him and to give praise unto Him. And I tell you what, I wish you would get in and start worshiping God and giving Him praise and let Him work in your heart and just fall in love with Him again, church. We need that. Here he was, Sarah was out here and she's thinking, God can't do that in my life. Don't sit here at Oak Lane and grow cold in your heart thinking that God can't meet the needs in your life, because I want to tell you that He can, because there's nothing too hard for the Lord, the Scripture says. And we need to realize that. Our lives are filled with appointments. The Lord said unto Abraham that He would return at the time appointed. God sets times and things in our life that He's going to do things. And He begins to work. Thank you, Lord. He sets things in our life so that we know that He's working. We need to listen. We need to be aware of what He's doing. The appointments that He wants to keep. There's some things that He wants to do in each of our lives if we'll just allow Him to do that. The Lord said unto Abraham that He would return at the time appointed. Abraham, Sarah, you have an appointment. You will bear a son in your elder years because there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Hey, I want to tell you, church, there's nothing too hard. He can meet those needs and He will reveal to you the appointments that He wants to keep with you. We cannot limit God to what He wants to do in our lives. We cannot limit Him to that. And we do that so many times. We don't pray things through. God will begin dealing with us and showing us something and revealing to us through Scriptures and Him speaking to our hearts. Makes it real to us. Of what He wants us to do. There's nothing too hard for Him. We just got to be willing to listen and obey. Amen? Got to be willing to listen and obey. He wants to do something in your heart here today. He brought you here for this Sunday morning appointment that you could hear the Word of God, you could sing praises unto Him, and the Spirit of God could pass by and maybe touch you and do something in your heart. God don't want you just going through playing the game and going through motion. There's nothing too hard for Him. He wants you to be closer. He wants you to be on fire for Him. He wants you to be in love with Him. And I'm here begging you today to keep that appointment. Keep that appointment. Don't put it off. Now we're so good for, you know, we schedule things in this world. Things that we think we want to do, and as the time gets closer, we start calling up whoever may going to do it and say, hey, I'm not going to make it. We get lazy and things like that. You know, it's all well and good to put off things in this world, but you know, you can hurt people's feelings and things. I want to tell you today, I'm begging for God, don't put off the appointment with God. Don't cancel any appointment that you would have with the Lord. Keep those appointments. Allow Him to work in your life and do what He wants to do. And just draw close to Him. Just draw close to Him. Do you hear Him today? Let Him speak to you. Draw close to Him. Here they were at an appointed appointment. God was meeting with them. God was telling them what He wants to do. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 8. Let's see some more appointments. 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verses 11 through 15. And I just, as God began speaking to me about this message, He began taking me examples of appointments. Things that were appointed for people to do that were appointments. 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verses 11 through 15. Scripture says, "And Solomon brought up the daughter of Pharaoh out of the city of David unto the house that he had built for her. For he said, My wife shall not dwell in the house of David, king of Israel, because the places are holy whereunto the ark of the Lord hath come. Then Solomon offered offerings unto the Lord on the altar of the Lord, which he had built before the porch, even after a certain rate every day, offering according to the commandment of Moses on the Sabbath, on the new moons, on the solemn feast, three times in the year, even the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. And he appointed according to the order of David his father the courses of the priests to their service, and the Levites to their charges, to praise and minister before the priests, as the duty of every day required, the porters also by their courses at every gate. For so had David the man of God commanded, and they departed not from the commandment of the king unto the priests and Levites concerning any matter or concerning the treasures." As we read here, we see from the scriptures the children of Israel were appointed times to keep the feast unto the Lord. Hey Israel, mark your calendars. You have these appointments to keep with God. You have all these feasts throughout the year. God had directed them. He had made appointments with them. It was time that they were set aside to worship God and to do what He would have them to do. So I want to say, show you here that God is showing us through the Scriptures that keeping appointments with Him is very, very important. Your soul weighs in the balance. Keep those appointments with God. The priests and the Levites were to minister as the duty of every day required. Hey, it's not just a Sunday appointment. It said daily they had things that they had to carry out and things that they had to do. You have an appointment with God each and every day. And you need to make sure you take that time to keep that appointment. I've already told you before when I preach that I get up early before I go to work, so I have my time with God. That is my appointed appointment time every day with God. Is that the only one that I have during the day? No, it's not. No, it's not. I try to spend as much time with Him as I can. And I pray and hope that each one of us have that desire to spend that time with Him. You have an appointed appointment with God on a daily basis. And you need to learn to spend that time with Him. Take time for God. Let's go back. Turn back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. How are you going to get an appointment out of this, Brother Joy? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created it. In the beginning, heaven and earth had an appointment with God as He spoke them into existence. It was an appointed time for an appointment. God spoke the word and the earth and the heaven came into being. It had an appointed time to happen. Everything is in God's hands as He directs and leads it. I'm trying to tell you that God makes special appointments in each and every one of your lives. And it's up to you to listen, to know, and to do what God is asking, to meet with Him, to be faithful to Him, to serve Him. Appointed appointments. We each and every one have them. Here we have the earth, the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:3. "And God said, Let there be light, and there was light." Well, who would have thought that the very light of day had an appointment with God? He spoke it into existence. He made the appointment. He spoke it into existence. And here we have light. Think about this. Everything has an appointed appointment with God. And God said, if you go through the book of Genesis, it's recorded 9 times in chapter 1. Each one an appointment with God was kept. And the earth received light, the earth received firmament, dry land, the light bearers, fish and birds, animals and humans. Each one were appointed appointments. If you read through Genesis there, if I didn't miscount, and the scripture says, "And God said," is recorded 9 times. God spoke an appointment, and God created, and there it was. And every one of these things has an appointment with God each and every day since He spoke them into existence, including us. Let's turn over there to verse 31 in chapter 1. says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Chapter 2, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he rested from all his work which God created and which he had made. All the appointments were good, and then God rested." God took time to rest. Genesis chapter 2 tells us of our great God forming man from the dust of the ground and breathing into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Do you know the dust that God created us from had an appointment for God? God reached down and he scooped it up and he formed man out of the dust of the ground. Dust had an appointment with God. It was appointed, and God did it, and God created man out of it. And you know what else was so good about this? There was an appointment with God breathing into the nostrils of man and man becoming a living soul. God created man. It was an appointment that God kept with us. He created us and he made us to what he would have us to be. And God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. And the appointed appointments just continue on through the Word of God. Here we have Adam and Eve. God had created them, and we know how he created Eve from the rib of man. And he put them in the garden where they were to care for the garden. But you know what else? They were to have regular appointments with God. If you look in chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." They hid themselves from God. Here it was, God had come to them in the cool of the day. That was early in the morning. I like early in the morning, don't you? It is the cool of the day. But they had a set time that God, an appointment, that God would come and he would walk in the garden and he would come to visit them. They were appointed appointments with God. You know God desires to have that with you each and every day? He would like to walk with you in the cool of the day, spend time with you. He makes those appointments. And I'm just, as I said, I'm begging you today to listen to him and to keep those appointments. Don't cancel them for any reason. Don't let anything distract you from them. If something happens and there's some kind of tragedy or something going on and you have to move a little later, do not put off that appointment with God. You need that every day. You need that strength. You need the Holy Spirit working within you. You need to spend that time with God and let him help you and take care of whatever it is that's going on. They tried to avoid their appointments with God. They were running from God. God said, "Where art thou?" God knew where they were. God may ask you the same thing. Where are you at? He knows where you're at. He knows the condition you're in. I'm not talking about just being someplace else different. I'm talking about where you're at. What is your relationship like with the Lord? Is it as strong as when you first got saved? Is it as strong as when God first delivered you from sin? If not, God has an appointment for you here today. He wants to strengthen that relationship again. He wants to build you up. He wants you to keep that appointment with him. And I beg you to let him have his way. And they just continue on and on. Genesis chapter 6. God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And the scripture says it grieved him at his heart. And God said, "I will destroy man." If you go on and read in chapter 6, there was a man called Noah who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah had an appointment with God. God knew Noah. Noah knew God. And that relationship was strong. In a time that the wickedness was overriding this world and God was disgusted at what man had done, there was one man who kept his appointment with God. And it was Noah. And he asked Noah to do something. He told Noah to make an ark. "Noah, I will direct you how and what to do." And Noah and his family and every living thing too of every sort had an appointment to be saved by getting on the ark. That's one appointment I bet they're glad they didn't miss, Brother Arliss. God set an appointment. He put Noah and his family into working and building an ark that he would save. And here it came the time that they got on the ark. The appointment was set. Get this ark done. Get everything that I've said into it. And I'm going to save life by this. Oh, you have an appointment to be saved, sinner. You have an appointment with the Lord Jesus Christ who can take you and He can deliver you from sin and He can give you the victory in your life if you'll just allow Him. Have that appointed appointment and let God have His way in your life. I want to encourage you here today not to miss any appointment with God. No matter what else is going on, make sure you keep that appointment with God. Oh, if Noah would have got distracted that day that it started to rain, he got called away from something. But he didn't. He was steadfast and he stayed the course. No matter what the crowd was mocking at him, saying to him, he continued to build that ark. He continued on because he knew that he had an appointment with God Almighty and he needed to see that through. Exodus, we see more divine appointments. We see the children of Israel in Egypt put into bondage, forced into slavery. While in slavery, their male newborns are to be killed. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 2, read some scripture there. Exodus chapter 2. Going to read 1 through 10 there. Another appointed appointment here. Exodus chapter 2. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that they may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Hey, another appointment. Moses' mother had an appointment to deliver a male child. This was directed of God. And to give him... to keep him alive so that he could keep his appointment with God. Moses' mother kept her appointment with God by obeying all she was supposed to do. She had this child and she knew that the Egyptians wanted to kill this child. They were under orders to kill all of the Hebrew male children because they did not want them outgrowing them, their Egyptian forces. They wanted to keep the women, the weaker, there. Here she was, she gave birth. And she saw that it was a goodly child. God was speaking to her heart about an appointment. And she hid that child for 3 months, Brother Brian. Kept him hid. Kept him there. Saved him. Protected him. And then at the time where she could contain it no longer, hey, we think that she just went down there and she just thought it was the best thing to do. She had an appointment with God down there by the riverside to place that baby in that ark of bulrushes and place him there. There was a lot of appointments happening right here at this time. God was working out His plan. He was taking care of everything. She placed that baby in there and she left. And in the scriptures we read there says that Pharaoh's daughter came down. Pharaoh's the one that put the law in place to kill the Hebrew children. Don't tell me this was not an appointment from God set up by God. Here it was. The mother had put the baby there. Pharaoh's daughter had come down and saw him and took the child. Oh, get a load of these other appointments that are going on. Here it was that Moses' sister had been watching from afar and she see what went on. And she went down and she said, "Can I call one of the Hebrew women to nurse this child for you?" Oh, talk about an appointment. Yes, go get him. And here she goes and she gets her very own mother. She gets Moses' mother. Don't tell me that's not an appointment appointed by God. Don't tell me that it's not. It's just plain and simple right there. She goes down. And she takes the child and she begins to nurse it. Boy, ain't God good. She paid her to do it. To save her child, she followed exactly. She kept the appointments by God. Pharaoh's daughter kept an appointment she was not even aware of. But God works in mysterious ways, amen? God puts things in place and makes things happen that we don't understand. But what if she had not kept that appointment? What if Moses' mother had not, if she had thought, no, I'm not going to do that? What if she'd have missed that appointment? Things would have been a lot different. Because we know what God had brought Moses into the world to do, to lead his people out of Israel. God has set appointments that we must keep. I'm begging you today, keep your appointments with God. If that appointment is here today, God's speaking to your heart, please, I'm begging, don't turn him away. Don't cancel that appointment. Don't walk out of here without keeping that appointment. Oh, Brother Joy, I'm sitting here. Yeah, you're sitting here. Well, what's God doing to your heart? What does God want to do in your life? He wants you to get on your knees. He wants to spend some time with you. And I'm begging you today, don't cancel those appointments. See them through. God is so good. Look at the appointment of Pharaoh's daughter. Finding Moses, knowing it was a Hebrew male that was ordered to be killed. Kept him, paid Moses' mother to nurse him. Keep your appointments. We know as Moses grew up, if you go on and read through the scripture, he grew up in Pharaoh's daughter's house, and that when he was grown, that he'd slew an Egyptian who he'd seen smiting one of his Hebrew brethren. After killing the Egyptians, Moses fled to Midian, where he was given Zipporah, who bare him a son. He acquired a family there. Moses was here in Midian, hiding from his past and people. All the while, an appointment time was coming. Here he was, Moses had grown up in Pharaoh's house, Pharaoh's daughter's house. He grew up there. And as he matured and he got older, he seen an Egyptian smiting one of his Hebrew brethren. Seen him beating him. Well, Moses, in his rage, goes and he kills this Egyptian and he hides him. And then being feared of finding out, Moses escapes. He runs away off into Midian, where that he meets his wife. And there begins a life. And here he is in Midian, hiding from his past, hiding from his people. All the while, God has an appointment set for him. God has something that he wants him to do. And God begins working on him and dealing with him. Exodus chapter 3. Let's read 1 through 14 there and get an idea of what's going on here. The appointment that needs to be kept. Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land, and a large, and into a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I've also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token of thee. I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Here he was. Moses had fled into Midian. He was hiding from his past and from his people. But he wasn't hiding from God. Remember, I told you, you can look all around. You think nobody else is seeing you. God knows exactly right where you're at. And he still sets the appointments. Here he is on the backside of the desert. Moses has a backside of the desert appointment. I ask you again today, have you been keeping your appointments with God? They're important. They're important, as we'll see here. Brother Joy, what exactly is a backside of the desert burning bush appointment? Well, it's appointed of God first, and I'm glad you ask. When everything in your life has crashed, you've tried to do everything you can, and you've not relied on God. That is when you're ready for a backside of the desert burnt bush appointment. When you've exhausted everything that you can do, you've tried to figure it out and work it all out on your own, that is when it's time for a backside of the desert burnt bush appointment. Because who did he meet with? He met with God Almighty. And God Almighty told him what he wanted him to do. Began working in him again, and Moses realized that he could not stay hid away from God, away from the people, away from his past, that he had to step up and do what he needed to do. We'll all have those times. There'll be a time in your life when you're on the backside of the desert and God will put a burning bush before you. And that's holy ground. He told Moses to take his shoes off. He was on holy ground. He was there in God's presence. There's a reverence that you need when you realize that you're at that burning bush. You really need to realize who you are and where you're at. And this is the best position you can be in. Bowed before Him, and Him on the throne, and Him in control. And God may tell you that, hey, you've tried it your way. You've tried it your way, and it's not working out. You've tried to handle things on your own, and you're not getting it done. Matter of fact, you're sliding back. You're going back the other way, because here you are in the backside of the desert. But you know what? God is so good. He'll put them burning bushes before us. He'll bring us to that place where we realize that we need Him. That there's nothing that I can do to take care of this. There's nothing that I can do to change these circumstances but put all of my faith in God Almighty, because there's nothing too hard for the Lord. That's what we read already. I've got to realize that. When I'm there at that bush, and I got to bow down, Brother Danny, and I got to confess it to Him, say, God, I need You. I need You, and I need You to take care of this. That is the backside of the desert, burning bush appointment. Are you there? Are you there at that time in your life when you need a new talk with God, a fresh talk? Hey, He puts those there before us. What we do at that appointment time is very important. Moses could have seen that burning bush over there, Brother Ryan, and he could have kept on going, taking that flock, and just looked at it from afar. Oh, what would his life have been? What would his life have been if he didn't keep that appointment, if he didn't stop and spend that time with God? What would your life be like if you turned God away, if you didn't keep an appointment that He had set before you? Where would you be at? What would be going on in your life? It scares me to think of where I might be at if I hadn't listened to Him there in 1993 when He saved me. But Charles scares me. But God's so good. Nothing too hard for Him. And He saved old Joy Wilson. He delivered him from sin. He gave me an eternal home in heaven. And I'm going on to glory because I want to spend those appointments with Him. I want to be at those burning bushes, and I want to realize and reverence who He is, Brother Artis. And I want to spend the time with Him. I want to keep those appointments. And I'm begging you to do the same, to keep the appointments with God. Hey, it may not be no big smoking tree or anything. It may just be a little bush or whatever it is. God wants that time with you. He's a personal God. He wants to spend that time with you. Listen to me today. Listen to Him calling. Wherever it is and what's going on, let Him have His way. Let Him have His way. I'm begging for Him. I'm begging for Him that you would just turn your life over to Him. Backside of the desert. You're not going to hide from him. You know, He will call to you, and you know it's Him calling. He may even be calling to someone here today. Let's turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Scripture says, to everything there is a season. Everything there's a season, Scripture says. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born. A time to die. A time to plant. A time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill. A time to heal. A time to break down. And a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. He says, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I've seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he has set the world in their hearts so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there's no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, and that men should fear before him. That which he hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there's a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts, even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go into one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? Now, here in the book of Ecclesiastes, and Jewish tradition describes that the book of Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon. And in very first chapter 1, verse 1 says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem, leads us to believe that and be directed to that. Now, the book gives his purpose to share his regrets and his testimonies with others before he died. Jewish tradition describes that Solomon wrote Song of Solomon in his younger years, Proverbs were written in his middle years, and Ecclesiastes during his latter years in life. And I would ask, you see Solomon's crying out to you, keep your appointments with God. If you do a study on this, and everything points that that Solomon is trying to express the things that he had fallen into. He began getting, he started out close with God. He was the wisest man, the scripture tells us, there ever was, and God's hand was upon him. But as he went on, who knows whether it was riches or things of this that led Solomon's heart away. As many wives that he had and everything, he'd gotten away from God. He kept keeping appointments with God. And here he is in Ecclesiastes. And if you read through the whole book, it's just like almost a confession of what he had allowed to go on in his life and the things that he observed. And he said there, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the sun. And he's telling us to be wise to this. He's telling us not to be like he did and to make the wrong choices, to put off some of those appointments that he probably put off with God. Times when God was probably going to give him direction and he went on and tried to do what he wanted to do. And Solomon here, he's just crying out and telling us, and he's telling each and every one of us, keep your appointments with God. Don't get fixed on the material things of this world. Don't let this world control you. But keep your appointments with God and let God be on the throne of your heart and in control of everything. And I believe he says, make sure you make time for God. Spend your time with God. He concludes in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12, verses 13 through 14, says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You know, and the New Testament tells us to abstain from the very appearance of evil. Well, how do you do that? You keep those appointments with God. Because when you're not got God in your life, you're doing those things that gives appearance of the world, and that's what this lost world sees in you. We all have an appointment coming. But God says there in verse 14, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." We all have an appointment coming. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." It's an appointed appointment that we each and everyone have. We're all going to stand before God. We're going to give an account. We're going to give an answer for our life and how that we lived it and whether we kept these other appointments. Romans 14:11-12 says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." There's an appointment time coming, church, that none will miss. You may turn from an appointment today, but rest assured, we will bow before him and give an account. You may say no to him here today, but there's coming a day that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. We're going to give an account. And I want to plead with you again to make it right here and now. Don't go on without him. This could be your last opportunity. This could be the last burning bush that God puts before you. And how you handle it is very important. What's going to go on? Some 2,000 years ago on a hillside outside of Jerusalem, there was an appointment kept. That sinless Son of God gave himself for us. He kept that appointment for me. He kept that appointment for you. He died upon that cross so that you could be forgiven of your sin. He gave his life for you. He kept that appointment so that you could keep your appointments with him. Sinless Son of God was nailed to a cross. He gave his life for the payment. He was crucified for us. Your appointment with God is right here and right now. Don't cancel it. Just come, just show up, and he will take care of you. You have an appointed appointment. The old song says, "There's a great day coming, a great day coming, there's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come?" And it says, "There's a bright day for them that love the Lord, but a sad day for the one that missed their appointment." How about it today, Oak Lane? Are you willing to keep the appointments with God starting here today? I don't know what he's speaking to your heart or what's going on in your life, but each and every one of you do, and God knows. It's between you and him. And how you handle this appointment today will decide how your life goes. And I'm begging you today, keep an appointment with the Master. Keep an appointment with the one that loves you. Let him be in control. Let him be Lord in your life. I'm begging for him. Father, I shared what you laid on my heart. Father, we've kept the appointment for meeting here today. God, I know that you just didn't have this message for no reason. You've already spoken to my heart as I preached. And I pray that, God, if there's someone here, Lord, that needed this message today, that really need to realize that you have an appointment for them, that they will come, they will kneel, and they will talk with you at the burning bush you put before them. Please help them, Lord Jesus. Help them to surrender and commit everything into your hands, to turn everything over to you. Please, Holy Spirit, go down each one of these aisles. Go to each heart and each person. Take the time, Father, to speak to each one here today and help us to take time, this invitation, to listen to you, allow you to speak and allow you to do what you want to do. I pray no one goes away if they have an appointment with you here today, if they will come, because it's appointed of you, Father. It's appointed of you. And I know that Scripture said, and I know God's seen it in my life, there's nothing too hard for you. You can take care of everything.
Please give that person victory here today, Father. Please have your way. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you.